Right now, if you remember the 90s, you probably also remember girl power. Think Spice Girls. But the girls grew up to pursue solo careers or settled down to marriage and children. Posh Spice, anyone? She's now Mrs. David Beckham. The band was a little naughty for sure, but positively PG compared to subsequent acts like the Pussycat Dolls.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me? Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like me? Don't you?
Today we take a look at the origin, meaning, and the style of the girl groups and how things have changed. Joining us is Robin Givon, fashion editor for The Washington Post. She recently had a story in the Post titled, Girl Power Groups Look Gave Voice to Individuality. And, of course, we want to hear from you, particularly if you're a fan of girl groups or even if you perform in one. Our number is 800-989-8255. Email talk at npr.org. There's a conversation ongoing at our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. And Robin Givon, it's nice to have you on the show again.
It's nice to be here.
And there's a wonderful picture of the Spice Girls that accompanies your article, and I'm of an age and sex which did not necessarily connect. I don't think I was part of their demographic. And I had thought, as I started to read your piece, that, you know, I couldn't begin to identify them. And then all of a sudden I realized, well, ginger, scary, and sporty are pretty easy to identify, and process of elimination between posh and baby is also pretty easy. And that's part of your point. These were very distinctive looks.
They were. I mean, one of the things that I noticed as I was sort of pondering the Spice Girls after they announced their comeback world tour was that when I looked at some of the, you know, the old girl groups, the idea was really that you had this sort of one image and they all essentially dressed the same. They had the same hairstyles. It was very cohesive. And then they came along and one of their great selling points was that they each had this very distinctive kind of character that they were portraying.
Mm-hmm. And you argue that, in fact, their fashion was more important than their music.
Well, I'm sure there are some Spice Girl fans who would argue that Wannabe should have gotten a Grammy. But I tend to think that a lot of what made them really popular and really successful was the fashion. And, you know, their nicknames came from the way that they looked. And one of the big things was that they had all of these sort of different iconic images that all came together and in a way sort of said, you know what, they're all valid. They're all valid ways of being a girl. And all of these different kind of characters can, you know, to use a cliche, can all get along.
Mm-hmm. These are the group was, of course, a fabrication. These were not five friends who grew up singing on the stoops of London.
No. They, you know, they had a huge audition and they were chosen because of their singing ability, their dancing ability, their look, their personality, et cetera, et cetera. And they put them all together. So they were really quite distinct to begin with. And one of the things that was sort of striking to me was that, you know, they were a bit naughty. You know, they weren't like, you know, the girl groups of the 60s when mm-hmm. you start talking about the Supremes. I mean, there was definitely a sexiness to them, but not too much.
Nothing a parent could get overly wrought about.
I think that some parents tried to get a little upset about it, but then quickly realized that there were bigger battles to fight.
Probably right there, too. We're talking with Robin Givon. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk at npr.org. And why don't we go to, this is Kirsten, and Kirsten with us from Essex in Connecticut.
Hello. I don't know if you can hear me. My phone's cutting out. I just wanted to make a comment that, you know, the real roots of when I think of girl power as a, you know, woman in her late 20s is comes from the underground and punk rock and women like Ani DeFranco, certainly not groups that are fabricated like the Spice Girls and the Pussycat Dolls.
All right. We are having a little problem with your phone now, but we'll get a response. Thanks very much for the call, Kirsten.
Yeah, I don't think that by any means the Spice Girls created the idea of girl power. I don't think they would claim to have created the idea of girl power. But what they did was to really use it as a way of connecting to their audience and this whole idea, not necessarily of it being this aggressive kind of feminism, but really celebrating the idea of friendships between girls. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what drew a lot of their fans to them.
And in fact, you say that it stemmed is sort of MTV, feminist sensibility that sort of stemmed from two schools, the Cyndi Lauper school and the Madonna school.
Yeah, and looking back, one of the things I realized is that they both sort of had, songs that launched their career. Cyndi Lauper had Girls Just Want to Have Fun, and Madonna had Everybody, and they came out just about the same time. And when you look back at those videos, there were these very subtle differences, even though they both had this kind of bohemian style of dress. And the most significant is that, there's Cyndi Lauper leading this conga line of, girls dancing around, talking about wanting to have fun, and there's Madonna sort of writhing around a little bit and showing her belly button. And I think a lot of people would,
And eventually much more.
and eventually much more, exactly.
Let's see if we can get Carla on the line. Carla's with us from Long Island.
Hi. I just wanted to know if you feel that the Pussycat Dolls are a poor example for young girls nowadays, especially since, they feel already pressured with sexual images in society.
Again, we're having problems with the phone line, but Carla, thank you. And you sort of cite them as the inheritors of the or successors along the Madonna chain of this tendency.
Yeah, in some ways, I almost want to come out in defense of Madonna in the sense that, I mean, she really was about embracing sexuality and the ways that that can be empowering. But along the way, I do think that that idea sort of got contorted, and you had people like Christina Aguilera deciding that the way to show that she was grown up was to do a video like Dirty. And I don't necessarily think that's the same thing. So to the degree that the Pussycat Dolls are a negative influence on young girls, I think that it's to go down that road of sexuality as empowering, I think is a very complicated one. And to a great degree, I think the Pussycat Dolls have simplified what was a very complicated message.
Let's talk with Eden. Eden with us from Muncie, Indiana.
Hi, my name is Amy, and I listened to the Spice Girls when I was little. Well, I'm 22 now, so I listened to them when I was getting up and getting ready for school and stuff, and they made me feel like I was, it made me feel good about myself and that I could succeed in life and stuff. And yeah.
And so, how old were you when you first started listening?
I was probably like 10 or 11.
And so, she was smack dab in that demographic. And do you still listen to the Pussycat Dolls or to Spice Girls? And will you be interested if in their reunion tour?
I kind of am interested in the reunion, just to see how their message has changed. And actually, I do have a couple of songs on my shuffle, so
Is that She admits reluctantly.
Yes.
Yes.
And thanks very much for that, Eden. Edie,
Thank you.
excuse me. Bye-bye. She raises a good question. Girls like her did derive that message of inclusiveness and fun that you talk about, and things have changed a great deal since then.
Things have changed a lot. I mean, with the Spice Girls themselves, I want to call them Spice Women. They've certainly grown up and had gotten married, had families, and all those kinds of things. And so have those original fans. So I think it will be interesting to see if they're able to draw from that idea of nostalgia, or if they can really connect with girls now who are 10 and 11 years old, whether that message will still resonate.
Let's get David on the line. David with us in Portland.
Hi there. Thanks
Hi.
For taking my call.
Sure.
I grew up in the 80s, and two girl bands that I really loved growing up were the Go-Go's and the Bangles. And I remember as a kid growing up in Orange County in California, seeing the Go-Go's on a local entertainment show, and then just going, "Oh my gosh!" And then all of a sudden they exploded, and then following them followed or they the Bangles followed them, and I suppose not looking at it through my parents' eyes, I suppose that I thought that that was good, clean, happy pop music from both those bands, and whereas I see the Spice Girls, and now that I have my own children and my own daughter who is 11, I'm leery of the Britneys, the Christina Aguileras, and the Spice Girls, and the Pussycat Dolls, but I'm not sure that my daughter, when she gets into that kind of stuff, which thankfully she isn't quite yet. She's still in the Hillary Duff type, mm-hmm. little girl, Hannah Montana type stuff. I'm a little leery of that, but she may not see it as I see it, or she may see it as I saw it back then, whereas my parents didn't. And what influence on girl power did the Go-Go's and the Bangles have, or do you feel that they had any at all?
Well, I think that they probably did have an impact. I think one of the reasons why I didn't focus on them quite as much is because they weren't so dominant on MTV, which kind of created this spectacle of what young girls were supposed to look like. I mean, even now, I sometimes see girls walking down the street, and I think to myself, they're dressing like they were in a video. You know, they're really taking their style cues from that. The other thing I would say too is that with a lot of the young girls, I think that they kind of grow out of this notion of sort of the best friends forever kind of girl power that the Spice Girls embodied, and they move on, and the kinds of performers that they start looking to are certainly more mature, certainly more sexually provocative. And you know, I don't know that you can really, I don't know how as a parent you sort of tamp that down and convince them that no, this more wholesome idea is much better. Because I think part of growing up is kind of grappling with those ideas and playing with it in fashion in particular.
I agree. And I have one more comment about what you said about the Madonnas and those folks on MTV. And was MTV, do you think they're really catering to the girls, or were they catering to the boys because it was more suggestive, and that's the golden demographic, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question, and I don't necessarily know the answer to that. I think to a great degree with performers like Madonna then, and certainly the Pussycat Dolls now, I would guess that it's definitely catering to a male demographic. I don't know that someone like Cyndi Lauper appealed necessarily to young men.
David, thanks very much, and good luck in the coming years.
Thank you very much. I'm going to need it.
Bye-bye. And Robin Gavon, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Robin Gavon is the fashion editor for The Washington Post and joined us from our bureau in New York. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.